Scripture for today comes from the second chapter of Acts, the history book of the early church, which tells of the very first day of Pentecost. Hear God's word. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved." Shall we pray? Grant now, O God, that what we have heard with our ears, understood with our minds, and received with our hearts, we may show forth with our lives. And that what we have learned by your grace, we may use for your glory. Amen. We don't usually think of the huge crowds in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Really, I meant it when I said, wasn't that Sunday school choir a great object lesson for Pentecost? And by the way, didn't they sound very good, children, youth, and adults? Jane wants a choir that size every Sunday, by the way. So get out of your seats, get up here. Today, however, I'd like us to concentrate on the crowds in Jerusalem on the very first Pentecost day. They were known in the scripture that we read by the lands from which they came. They were first century people called Parthians, Medes, and Elamites. They were residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs. To us, they're pretty faceless. In fact, most of us have trouble pronouncing their names of their nations. Yet the New Testament history book titled The Acts of the Apostles records in chapter 2 this mob scene together in Jerusalem churning around the apostles of Jesus. If we're sincerely interested in the event of Pentecost, or even if we're unimpressed by such phenomena, if we want to learn what Pentecost is about, we should be interested in them. We know the crowds aren't the center of the story. We want to focus on what's in the center of the screen, the Holy Spirit coming upon the people in Jerusalem. But we find it very convenient to disregard those we don't know or those who we have never met. It reminds me how easily we disregard other people in our world today. For instance, you hand your money to someone at the checkout in a store, any store, pick one. They're talking on the phone to someone on either on the landline or on their cell phone, and you don't even meet eye to eye. You kind of hand them your card and they process it, or you give them your cash and they give you your change back, and the exchange is over before you know it. We get mail that says, urgent for addressee only. Ha, we know better. We're being used as consumers or viewed as merely commodities in the market. Or we're at home. I mean, it still happens at our house, no matter how many laws are passed, I guess. At dinner time, the phone rings, and somebody speaks a pre-recorded message pretending to care a great deal about my credit card interest rate. Or about identity theft. And they have the perfect product to sell me, so I can fix that. Well, these kind of depersonalized personal messages are something we don't like. How many of us, however, know the names of the person who last bagged our groceries at the grocery store? Did you learn that name, that person's name? Do you remember what they looked like, what their hair color was? Maybe if it was a wild, crazy color, you could remember it. Do we even talk to other people who serve us in this way? We buy, they give, and they accept our money in return, and it's over. Most people don't like being a cog in a machine, even if they are getting paid for it. But maybe we could do something about that by showing a little more concern for people who are usually nameless, or whom we identify as by their function. They're a checkout person, or they're a store clerk. For instance, a clerk at the checkout can also be known as a person that comes from a particular country. We tend to notice those kind of folks in today's world. Here, it could be a Nicaraguan, or an Ethiopian, or a Taiwanese person who helps us purchase our goods. We can start dealing personally with people from all over the world if we think seriously about just one person in the crowd on Pentecost. So you have to use your imagination with me. Picture someone in the enormous crowd on the day of Pentecost, a person who you can relate to, a person that you are focusing on personally. The business advisory firm Deloitte says that 36% of consumers are interested in personal products or services. People under 40 are very interested. People over 40, less so. But Ben Perkins, head of consumer business research for Deloitte, comments, businesses not only develop the capabilities to measure specifically what each individual consumer wants, but now they're in a position to link their processes and their resources to provide that. Beyond mass customization of products, personalization is already playing a role in the market with online product recommendations. Do you get that? Do you ever, you're surfing the web looking for something, and then all of a sudden you go to your email and an ad pops up for what you were just shopping for? It's a little spooky, I think, but it's the so-called personalized marketing of the world we live in. Some may call it spying or tracking. To make Pentecost more personal, at least, let's not focus on a product. Let's focus on a person. That person in the crowd could be someone who looks like you or looks very different than you. It could be someone who is your age or who is an age very different than yours. It could be someone who has the same interests as you or someone with totally different interests. But as we focus on that one person and try not to lose track of them in the huge crowd, we can personalize this Pentecost. What do we all need when we're in the middle of a huge crowd anyway? What do we need in general? Do we need buckets of money? Do we need baskets of jewels? Do we need untold wealth? I don't think so. I think what we really need is to know that we're a unique person and we're capable of being loved and we're cared for by someone. If we know that, then I think we can personalize today's Pentecost. My humble prayer for the 13 students who stood before us a moment ago is that this would be a day when they were noticed and cared for and loved. Please keep that list of their names and pray for them individually and personally. I encourage you too, as I said before, to go downstairs, take the walk down the stairs, these stairs or the back stairs, and check out their statements of faith that are on the wall. We should hear what they are saying to the church today. Sometimes people are driven by a need for power or wealth. Now, there's nothing wrong with power or wealth. What matters is how those things are used. What changes people so that they are really fulfilled, I believe, is reaching out to serve others, forgetting oneself, and giving something to someone who needs. What can happen if that is a behavior that we begin to practice? I think it energizes us. I think it gives us fresh faith. I think it allows us to believe that God can use us for his work in this world. That's what occurred that first Christian Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The Holy Spirit comes on people gathered in the city. Peter proclaims this unseen presence of God is not just for the apostles, not just for the church, it's for everyone. Everyone from all over the world. And then Peter explains that in case someone in the crowd finds it hard to believe that God wants to dwell within them or that God could use them, no matter their nationality, no matter their country of origin, no matter where they are in their faith journey. Maybe one of these people in the crowd thinks they're no longer valuable, that all their ability to produce has been used up. But wait a minute. God wants to live in them through the Holy Spirit. Or maybe one of the younger people in the crowd, just barely starting out in life, doubts that they'll ever be lovable or capable or attractive. But just wait. God wants to live within them and use them. If you've ever wondered what happened to those large crowds in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, I can tell you, they became the church. They became the people who wrote the New Testament, each one of them receiving the gift of God's Holy Spirit. They are the people of God from all over the world, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites. And that's the message of Pentecost we need to hear today as we gaze on the faces of people in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Let us give thanks to God that the church is still here today, 2,000 years later. And the church's work will not end until we all see Jesus face to face. That's because Pentecost was and is very personal. Amen.